from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. We're going all the way down to Australia again today. It's been a couple months since we've been there. But we have a special guest, Deb Carr, today. How are you, Deb?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm really good. You were just saying before we started recording that there's a cyclone maybe headed your way. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's heading towards Brisbane. So I'm in New South Wales. So Brisbane's about 8 hours north of me. We're going to get the tail end of it, but it's Brisbane's closed and the airport's closed. And yeah, we're all just waiting here, see what happens. Hopefully it's not too destructive.
Well, yeah. And not only for you, it sounds like you're safely enough far away, but for all of our other friends down there, we wish them best.
Thank you.
So we're going to jump into your near-death experiences. We have a lot to talk about today. I'm not even sure where we're going to go with this, but first, tell us just take 60 seconds. Tell us a little bit about you and who is Deb?
Well, Deb was born in Wales and she immigrated out to Australia when she was only 5. I lived in Australia and New Zealand. Currently, I live in a little town called Tea Gardens on the New South Wales coast. So it's a really pretty, like a fishing village. And I have a jewellery store. So I make my own jewellery and I share that store with my friend who has the boutique of clothing. So we have a store. I trade a website designer. So I still do the odd website and I have 4 websites of my own, including a few blogs. That's about it.
Wow, that's awesome. We're going to be talking about multiple experiences today. I don't know if you have this term in Australia, but some people around here use the term woo-woo.
Yeah.
I won't try to translate it for you. And some people may say some of what you've experienced is out in that realm. I don't care. We're going to have fun today. But let's start with 30 years ago, you were having some major surgery, and this is where a lot of this started. So take us back to what was going on back then.
So just to put it into context here, I've had a lot of operations and general anesthetics in my years, like a lot. And this is the only time I've had an experience like this. And I've had major surgery a few years ago. So, and even a couple of years, I had quite big surgery on my arm that I ripped open. So I've had a lot of them. But this one was 30 years ago, about. I was under anesthetic. Now, I do not recall popping out of my body. I do not recall seeing any light. I was just in the universe with God. Call it God, divine, creator, whatever. And I was in this space. It was like the universe. It was black and it had stars everywhere. And I was just in the presence of this energy that was, I knew to be the creator of all. And while I was there, and I have said this to you before, I could have been there for 5 seconds. I could have been there for eternity. I don't know how long I was there for, but it was beautiful. And I could feel God over there. So I'm here and God is over there. And then over here is this sort of construction of, I would say, the universe. I could just see this construction. I asked all the questions that I want to know, like what I want to know today, like why are we here? Who are we? What are we doing? You know, what is this all about?
Okay, give us all the answers.
Well, I wasn't allowed to remember them. That was the thing. So I was told I would know that I knew, but I would never remember any of them because if I did, I wouldn't live my life properly. I'd be cheating. But I know I knew, and I didn't come back as a, like being told to come back. I was came back as if I was floating backwards. And then I don't recall any nurses, you know how they wake you up and they're talking to you and trying to get you. I don't recall any of that, but I remember this distinct noise as I was coming back. It was just a tick, 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 tick. I don't know what it is to this day. I have no idea what it is, But I think about that experience every day of my life, and it has helped me through hard times and helped me with my belief that I know, well, that there is, we don't just exist in these bodies, we go somewhere else. We're something else far greater than what we think we are.
That is beautiful. When you say you were in the universe, I have a hard time picturing, what does that mean? Are you like floating a galaxy away and you're seeing the whole universe, or what's going on?
I can just say I was part of it. I was just in there. So I'm talking about the stars and the galaxies, and I was part of it, like I was it. And I was talking to God, but I didn't see a man on a throne. I didn't see anything. It was just this energy. It was quite incredible. I wish I had been able to bring back all those answers, because I've been seeking those answers since I was a little girl, to be honest, and I still don't have them all. I think I know some of them, but, yeah, I do know that I was somewhere. I'll never forget it, ever.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get you to explain just a little bit more here, because, well, one of the things that I love is that so many people tell me that during their experience, they feel connected to everything. I think that's kind of what you're saying, is it?
It is what I'm saying. I was still Debbie, but I was everything, if that makes sense.
Tell me about God. You said you didn't see a being or something like that. Do you feel like this was a verbal communication or just sort of a transfer of information back and forth?
A transfer, definitely a transfer, just a knowing. And it was the funny thing about it, like, you know, I say that I was part of everything, but I distinctly, God was there that way. And I'm not talking from like me to my hand. I'm talking about millions of miles, maybe. I don't know. It was just, or he, I shouldn't even, that energy source was over there. The creator was over there. And I was like here. And maybe it was a start of a place to go. I don't know. But that's as far as I got. So I never went into the light. I didn't have any beings near me. I didn't feel any other presence except God. That's it. And then I just had this knowing that I've brought back to me that I knew, but I would never be allowed to remember all those answers because I just wouldn't have completed my life properly.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we're here to live by faith. Tell me about some of the things that you were actually feeling. You said you felt God, but were you feeling love or fear or curiosity, or what was going on?
Well, I'd say love and curiosity, definitely no fear. I didn't have any fear at all. It was just being in the presence of just bliss, maybe. It was just a beautiful place to be, and I wasn't scared at all. I didn't think about me as that body back there on the operating table. I didn't think about her. I was just my consciousness, but I was up there. I didn't think about anybody or anything, or I didn't even think about Earth. I just was in this space. I've read a few stories similar to mine. I can't recall where I read them, but I have gone seeking to see if anyone else has had sort of that kind of experience, and I have come across some.
You mentioned that you think about this every single day. In what ways are you a different person now than you were before this happened, and how has it affected your life since then?
Well, I guess it has strengthened my faith in the belief system that I have, that we do live on. I'm sure we're going to discuss more about that later, but definitely has helped my faith. It's given me, I like to say the word hope, because this planet, let's face it, is pretty bonkers at the moment, and there's hope that there is a creator, that we are not just who we think we are. We humans don't rule the universe. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess.
That's an easy one for me to understand.
Good.
There's no way we humans are ruling the universe. We can't even figure out how to rule our own planet. Most of us, our own home or anything else. Let's talk about some of your other experiences.
Sure.
What's the first one that you can remember?
My brother. My brother took his life in 1998. And it was the most devastating experience I've ever had. I get teary sometimes, even all these years later, thinking about it. And I was crying in bed a few days after his death. and by myself. I don't know where Andrew was, but I was just by myself, sobbing. And then all of a sudden, I heard Gary. I heard his voice right here outside my ear, his voice. So it wasn't my mind, it was his physical voice. And he said, "Deb, I'm okay. I'm really, really happy." And then it's like a vision, you know, you hear people that have visions. My third eye or whatever it was, all of a sudden I'm in a vision. I'm on a bench, which is a concrete bench, a garden bench. I'm like this, crying. He comes up to me, Gary. He's wearing a jumper that had diamonds that were black and white. I'll never forget it. He had on black jeans, very scruffy hair because he was a scruffy person. And he came up to me. He put his arm around me. He winked at me and he said, "Everything you believe in life after death is true. I'm really happy."
Tell me about Gary. Was he a real religious person that would have automatically done that, or was this something really different?
It was very different. He was an extremely talented artist. So we were actually writing a children's book together. He was doing the illustrations. He was like a fantasy artist. Amazing work. Unfortunately, due to a childhood trauma, which I won't go into, but, you know, children sometimes get suffered, not through a family member, but a religious man. Gary ended up being a very depressed person, like very depressed. And I was his rock. He would often confide in me about his feelings. We both would talk about life after death and our belief systems. He told me he used to leave his body an astral plane to the other realms, and that's where he would pick up his colours for his artwork. He mixed all his own colours from the primary colours. He was quite incredible. But he did have this terrible, terrible depression from this trauma. And he had tried to commit suicide a few times before, but failed. I was close to him, and it was a very hard time for me, obviously my parents and brothers as well. But I believe he's in a good place. So that's also helped me a lot through my life, knowing that I heard what I heard and I saw what I saw, and it was him. He came to tell me, "Calm down, it's all right," and he'd see me again one day.
That must have brought you a ton of comfort.
It really helped, yeah, a lot.
I think there are so many times that loved ones that have passed on want to comfort us, and sometimes we're, for some reason, open enough to it, and other times maybe not. I'm grateful. That's great that you had an experience like that. Tell me about the forklift accident.
Oh, that was a friend of my brother's. So he was only 25 and he was driving a forklift at the fruit markets. And a truck came in and it was going to hit the forklift. So he had to jump out of the cage, but it rolled. So he was only 25. And that was probably my first death that I'd experienced, and it was both my brothers, Gary and Kevin's friend. I got really grief-stricken by it. I just couldn't understand how could a life be taken so young. And so I grew up in a Catholic church, I don't have that faith anymore, but I'm very, obviously very spiritual. But I did go to the church and sat in the church. I actually spoke to a priest for a while, and then I went into the pews. And as I sat there, I experienced what I can say is the presence of Jesus, and I felt Jesus. I didn't see anything, but felt that grief just taken away from me. It was just as if it was lifted off me, and I walked out of that church changed. I just felt that I had been given a blessing of some sort there.
How long after the accident did that happen?
Oh, maybe only a couple of weeks.
So pretty soon after.
Yeah, pretty soon after, yeah. It was a long time ago, but that feeling of having that grief taken off me was quite profound, it really was.
Now, you had an experience in your first pregnancy. Was that before or after the near-death 30 years ago?
That would have been after, because the near-death was before Emma. It was a short experience too, but it's something that I still can recall. I was in bed and my husband was next to me asleep, and I recall it was on my left and there were these three beings of light, and they were all beautiful colours, like blues and purples and greens, all sort of. So as you imagine what a light being might look like, but I didn't see any faces, just their outlines, and they were actually different heights too. And I felt them put me back into my body, because I've had a lot of out-of-body experiences too. That was just a memory, and I remember just looking at them and thinking how beautiful, and I wasn't scared. I don't know who they were or what they were doing. That was just one of my other woo-woo experiences.
So do you think that the near-death experience you had opened you up to more of these other things happening?
Yes, probably. But I've always had an interest in the spiritual life since I can remember, since I was a girl. So I've always read books. I always ask the question, what are we doing here? Like, who am I? What is this all about? Possibly that did open me up a bit more, but I'm very open-minded about these things. I don't believe reality is what we've been taught reality is, that there's more to it.
All right, I'm going to deviate. We're going to talk about the true woo-woo stuff now for a minute. I want our listeners to think about something for a minute. First of all, we're going to talk about a topic, which is UFOs. Which we never talk about on this show. I'm making an exception today. I have no idea why. Those that don't believe in UFOs, I don't want that to hurt the credibility of anything that Deb is telling us today. Okay, is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
Okay, let's talk about this for just a minute, and then we're going to come back to some other experiences, including shared death experiences that you've had. So we talked quite a bit about your brother. I believe it was when you were a child, you had a dream about a UFO. Give me an idea of what was going on there.
Yeah, I was 14. I lived in New Zealand at the time, and I had a bedroom upstairs. So I'm the only daughter, so I had my own bedroom. And in this profound dream, I again was in the universe, very much like I was with this NDE. But this time I was looking at a UFO, but it wasn't a round flying saucer as we would, in those days, that's what you thought a UFO was. It was like a city, a flying city, I guess. It was enormous and it was different levels, like different levels, and it had windows. And it, yeah, I will just describe it as this city. And it did have not wings, but sort of, I could see sort of legs or something, not legs, machines don't have legs, but there was some sort of landing gear, I think, maybe. But yeah, it was like a floating city, and it was a very profound something, again, that has kept with me all these years. So when I was 14, that's a long time ago.
Now tell us how that ties in with your brother.
Well, before he died, we were talking, as we did, about some things, and I was telling him about this dream, and he said, I had the same dream.
And you hadn't talked about it before.
No. And I said to him, well, draw it for me. Draw what I saw. Draw what you saw. And he drew, because I gave him a pen and pencil, and he drew it. He drew exactly the same machine that I saw. It was exactly the same. I don't know where I've put that drawing now. I wish I'd kept it, but, again, that was a long time ago. And I was like, whoa, how could you have had the same dream? But it was incredible.
Now that you've had a few decades to think about it, how do you explain that he had the same dream? Do you think it was real? Do you think it was a dream? What do you think was going on?
Well, I think it could. I don't think it was a dream. I think it was real. I think people get, like, I know your show's not about this, but
I brought it up, so go right ahead and jump through.
Well, how could we be the only living creatures with all these billions of galaxies and whatever? So maybe Gary and I had an out-of-body experience together. I'm not sure. But it for him to draw that for me all those years later and it be the exact same one that I have in my head was pretty strange. So we both used to talk about that we don't belong here, meaning not that we're depressed, that we don't belong on the planet, that we came from another realm. We used to talk about that kind of thing. And this is going back, you know, all those years ago. So maybe it all ties in together. And the more I think of it too, how it's sort of the same as my NDE. So I was still in the same kind of space. It was different, but I don't have any explanation. It's just something that's happened to me, and that's who I am.
Any other experiences with UFOs?
Only once, when I was jogging one morning.
What do you mean, only one? Anyone is a big deal.
Well, this one, I was jogging out on, so we lived in the country, and I was down the road by myself, and I looked up in the sky, and there was way, way up in the sky, and there were these two white orbs. They were big because they were far up, and they were just doing the most strangest moves. It wasn't a plane. It couldn't have been satellites. I don't even know if we had satellites then, but it was. They were just dancing with each other, and then they just took off. But I didn't see them close up or anything like that, and I was just watching them go, wow, it was incredible.
I think it's interesting that you explain them as orbs, because I've had plenty of other people on this show that during an NDE or some other kind of spiritual experience, they have witnessed orbs that they actually saw people in, like deceased ancestors and things like that. So it's almost bridging this gap between something flying that you didn't know what it was and something spiritual. So what I'm leading up to with my question here is, do you think there is some kind of spiritual tie with UFOs? Are they some sort of spiritual experience, or you just believe they're a fact and they're people from who knows where? And explain.
This is just my personal belief with watching a lot of shows and just things that I've read and what I feel. I believe that they are spiritually connected to us in a way, but I also think there may be some that are not so kind, and that could even be like good and bad, you know. But I just believe they're trying to help us not destroy each other. Maybe heard the stories of deactivating nuclear plants and stuff. So, I don't know.
Oh, I've seen Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to totally wipe us out. Thank goodness we have heroes in this country. Sorry, I am not making fun of Australians. Just that we Americans think a lot of ourselves, that's all. All right, let's jump into shared death experiences. Which do you want to talk about first, your mother or your father?
I'll do mum. So mum died. We call them mum here in Australia, not mom. She died 10 years ago coming this July, and she had been in a coma for 2 days. She has 4 years of stroke, so she was very disabled by the time she died. And for her to actually pass was a good thing, I think, because she was suffering so much. But anyway, we spent, my brother, his wife and my father and I, spent the night in the hospital with her, the last night of her life. And we all Kevin slept on the floor, and Mayu and I shared a bed, and Dad slept in a chair. In the morning, I was by this time in the chair, and I looked at her, and I could see she was going to pass. They changed their colour a bit, and the breathing was a bit strange. So we all gathered around her bed. Dad was there, Kevin was there, Mayu was there, and I was here. We were holding her hand and telling her we love her, and then all of a sudden she opened her eyes, which was incredible because she'd been in a coma for 2 days. She looked at Dad, and then she looked at Kevin, then she looked at Mayu, and then she looked at me, and her eyes were beautiful. They looked really greeny blue, and I could tell she was saying goodbye, and then she looked up into the corner and she took her last breath. It was quite incredible. I know this has happened to other people too, because I got to look it up and say, is this normal? And she looked at peace at last. She was in a good space.
What did you make of that, of her looking up into the corner of the room?
I think she was seeing something. I think maybe someone was coming to get her. We hear stories like that. And even a few years later, my auntie was dying on her, and she was in hospital, and her son, my cousin, sat on the edge of the bed, and she said to him, get off the bed. Auntie Sylvie wants to sit there. And Sylvia was my mother. So, you know, you hear these stories all the time. So it gives me faith that there's something else.
Absolutely. Okay, tell me about your father.
So this was more like a lucid dream, I think, but turned into an experience. So he died just before COVID. In this dream, I was in my bed where I lived at the time, and I lived by the beach. In the dream part, for some reason, Dad's funeral was going to be on the beach in a cabana, which was crazy. And I'm running to it because I'm late, and I've got to try and get to this funeral. And then all of a sudden, it turned into, from the beach to this cave with snow everywhere. snow, this whitest, and it was like big ledges, and it was amazing. And then I realized, oh, that's not snow. It was this light, like the brightest of brightest, whitest, whitest light you could ever see. And then I felt Dad's soul go up there. And as I looked up, there were these three beings. Now, you're probably going to ask me to explain what they looked like, and to this day I can't even explain it. They were beings, maybe something you might get out of Harry Potter or something, but not scary, just really kind of cute, short, sitting on the ledges, and they were white, and they had these enormous smiles, and they were looking at me. And I was looking up at one of them, and this being was just pouring love onto me, and I was just loving it back at it. And then I woke up and I had this huge smile on my face. It was like physically I was smiling at it. So that's, I believe, that I shared Dad's journey into the light. I think he hung around a few days before he actually went there.
Did you say you felt his soul whizzing by?
Not by me, just going.
Just going.
Like, yeah, gone.
What'd that feel like?
Well, happy that he's gone to the light. Yeah. I just knew, you know, I just knew, oh, Dad's gone. He's gone into the light, which is what a lot of near-death experiences talk about, as you know, is that they go into this light. Well, I think I saw that light because it was so white. it just was unbelievable. How do you think white can be whiter than white? But it was.
So tell me a little bit more about how the conglomeration of all these experiences has shaped who you are and what you do and what you think and how you treat people.
Well, I treat people the way I want to be treated, with kindness. I think I'm a more tolerant person now. I have a faith that you know, at the moment, as we know, there's a lot going on the planet that's not very pleasant. And I truly, with all my heart, believe that one day, not in my lifetime, but one day this planet will have that peace and that love, and that we'll evolve into something much better than we're behaving at the moment. So I have that faith. I read a lot of books. I don't watch TV as such. I don't have a commercial TV. I never watch TV, only YouTube. I study a lot. I read a lot of books on near-death experience. I have done it my whole life. My story is even on the NDERF.org website. I wrote that one a few years ago. I'm a blogger, so I've been writing about my experiences for years, and my current blog, which is attached to my jewelry website, is all about metaphysical things and crystals and my experiences and stuff like that. I just think we've been told, like I said before, we're more than the reality we've been conditioned to believe we are.
We'll get that website in the show notes, by the way, in case anybody wants to look you up. So leave us with some kind of a message of hope. I know you have tons. First, tell me what your fear of death is, and then what kind of message you'd like to leave for us today.
Okay. Well, my only fear of death is dying in pain, but I'm not scared of dying.
Join the club.
Yeah, I think everyone has that. We don't want to die in pain. My message is there's more to us. We are all connected. We should all be caring and less selfish. Just have faith that there is good to come. That's my message.
How about for someone that's not sure if they believe not only in an afterlife, but in some kind of a God? And we won't even label what that is today because you didn't. So why should they believe?
Well, I think they need to, if they shouldn't believe. They should, if they want to believe, they should go and find out. Go exploring, go read books, go talk to people like me and listen to your show and other shows like yours. There's too many people, millions of people have had these experiences of some sort. And why would we just be on this planet just to do this madness and that's it? It doesn't make any sense to me. It hasn't made sense to me since I can remember.
There has to be a purpose to it all, doesn't there?
I think so. I do.
Deb, thank you so much, and say hello to all my friends down there in Australia.
All right. Thanks, Eric. It's been fun.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.